Amen. All right, if you guys want to be in John chapter 8 today, I had a phrase in this passage that just really stood out to me. And to be honest with you, it kind of troubled me. And what I'm hoping today, and I don't know, I can't make it happen, but I wish I could for you and me both. I would like for us to be broken over lost people again. Some of you may live there, and that's a good thing if you're able to do that. I'm afraid sometimes I just get callous to it. And this phrase hit me today, and the way that the Lord was saying it, I was just like, this is not good. This hurts. This isn't right. And that phrase is, you are dying in your sins. And you're going to see today that Jesus is the one speaking it. And when he says it, it's just like, oh. He doesn't pull back. He doesn't hide the truth. He speaks it clearly. You guys that were in Sunday school today, the lesson, part of it was about Samuel telling Eli the truth, right? Eli said, you got to give me the truth, Samuel. Don't you dare conceal what the Lord is saying. And what Samuel needed to say was really going to be hurtful to Eli, wasn't it, right? Well, today, what I want you to hear a little bit in the message today is I think what the Lord is going to be saying is going to be hurtful when we hear it, some of it. But I think what he's wanting us to do is have a broken heart over the people in our world who need him. And let that be motivation for us to love them and pray for them and witness to them and share the gospel with them. So I hope today as you sit through this message and as you're engaged in the word and listen to the Lord, not to the preacher, that the Lord will put people on your mind and that you will be really a burden to pray and then to act for their salvation, for their hope, for their future. All right, let's look together. John chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 21 and go through verse 24 just to get started here this morning. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he says, whither I go, you cannot come. Verse 23, and he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Did you guys hear that echo, that kind of refrain three times, right? That's really strong. This first illustration, a little bit from Tim Keller, and I think it kind of helps sets us where we want to head this morning. He says, in a popular BBC murder mystery series called Broadchurch, the mystery is who in this lovely little seaside town could have murdered a child. The local detective, Eli Miller, is dubious that anyone from the town could have done it. This is a tight-knit community of good people, she says. We don't have these problems. Well, in response, Detective Inspector Alec Hardy argues with her. It kind of goes this way. Hardy says, anybody's capable of murder given the right circumstances. Miller says, but most people have moral compasses. And Hardy answers, compasses break. Pastor Tim Keller adds this. The fictional detective inspector is telling us exactly what the Bible says. You must not be in denial about your capacity for evil. You will do some really bad things in your life that will utterly shock you unless you get a hold of this particular truth from the Bible. Blame shifting is therefore one of the most dangerous things that you can do. Everybody get blame shifting? It's almost an art form at our workplace. Whenever something's not right with technology, we try to figure out who could have touched that because it couldn't have been me. We do that in our life with sin sometimes, don't we, right? Well, I know I'm not perfect, but did you see, right? And today you may be tempted to think, well, this dying in your sins, this is for the bad people. He's not really, really referencing the people in my world or me. And I really want you and I to hear the Lord today about this truth. So let's actually look at the first paragraph. We'll start in verse 18. And again, this we're going to refresh and redeclare this idea of dying in your sins. Look there in verse 18. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. And they ask him, where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Now, does anybody even remember? I know it's been a whole week, but do you remember what we talked about last week? Oh, I'll put you on the spot. See, I can see the minds are really struggling. The smoke's starting to burn.
You left us with go and sin no more.
There we go. Go and sin no more. And that was about who? The woman caught in adultery. There we go. Now we're getting on the same page. All right. That was where we kind of left the scene. Now, John doesn't always go chronological, but where we find Jesus here, he's in the temple courts. He's declaring publicly to people some things. And there are going to be some people in the temple courts that are Pharisees, that are arrogant, they're obnoxious to us. But again, remember, in their day, they were highly respected, the most influential, okay? There's other people in the courts too, though, that aren't part of the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Sanhedrin. They're just there to see what Jesus has got to say. So that's kind of where he is speaking at here today. He is going to speak very clearly. I mean, super clearly. And you're going to see he's going to speak so clearly that by the end of the chapter, they're going to be ready to take his life. That's how clearly Jesus is going to speak today. And basically, the truth here we see in this first paragraph is if you claim to know God, you will also understand and know whom? Jesus, right? So listen to this morning. I hope this is encouraging and helps you when you're trying to know who to trust and not trust spiritually. If you meet someone who says they know God, but they don't believe in Jesus as the Messiah, they do not know God, and they should not be trusted in spiritual things. I'm not going to rehash everything here, but you guys know your math facts we talk about all the time with our cults, right? Not the cults, but the C-U-L-T-S, cults, right? Well, here's another very important truth. You may run into some people and say, oh, I love God. God's my Father. God's great. God is good. He's just been so good to me. And if you ask them about Jesus, they're like, well, I don't know that Jesus really is the Messiah, or I don't really know that he's the only way. That is a sign to you that that is someone not to be trusted in spiritual things. Jesus here is talking to Pharisees who said that they know God, and really they're going to come across to Jesus that they know God better than he does. Here's the sad thing. Think about this for a second. God was breathing and speaking words in front of their very faces, and they didn't recognize him because of their own selfish pride. Do you ever think that maybe you miss God? I shared a little story this morning. We went to a Big Ten game Thursday night, and we were walking downtown, and there's a lot of homeless people out. And it's a little scarier at night when you see people smoking, walking through the dark, and you're not quite sure who to trust. You know, we're making our way back. And all of a sudden, this guy, he hollers at the group of us, the four of us, and he's like, hey, you know what? What do we think we're doing? We're keeping walking, right? Hey, I don't need anything. I'm like, let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. And then he hit me with what was the boom. He goes, well, God bless you. Oh, I got to stop now. I was fine till then. I turned around. I went back. And I want to tell you guys, it was one of the most easy things for me to wrap my arm around this guy. And he wrapped his arm around me. I said, I'm going to pray for you. He goes, oh, don't pray for me. You'll make me cry. I prayed for this man. And when I walked away, even this morning, I was still thinking, sometimes I wonder if that was an angel and that guy doesn't even live there. Because the Lord was trying to check on me and see, hey, are you going to help me when I need help? Right? We have to be careful that we don't miss God-appointed moments because of our own routine and our own schedule, and especially because of our own pride, right? Here, I want you to think, these men had the very privilege of listening to God himself speak, but they're so wrapped themselves, they don't get it. Look down at verse 21. Once more, Jesus said to them, I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Well, this made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. Jesus is going away. He's telling them exactly what's going to happen, right? Again, they can't understand it, and I want to be careful here, but this is basically how they view it. They're viewing Jesus as one of the kind of a crazy person. Later on, they'll call him demon-possessed. And to this audience at the day, the idea of killing yourself, there were levels to hell, and suicide was the lowest level. So when they proclaim that truth, they are basically saying about Jesus, you're the lowest of the low. You're the craziest of the crazy. You know, what are you talking about? What are you saying? But hear the words of Jesus again as he speaks to this audience. He says, you will die in your sin. Who's more compassionate than Jesus? Who's more loving than him? Who showed his love more than anyone? He bore himself on a tree that we might be set free. But it is Jesus that speaks to this audience, and he says to them, you will die in your sin. Whew. Does that have any impact on you? When I read that this week and I was in my mind, I'm like, it almost haunts me to hear Jesus say those words. Like somebody else can say, maybe I wouldn't feel as bad, but because the Lord himself is the one saying, you will die in your sin. You will never see me again. You will not know of heaven. You will die lost. He speaks of that clearly. And then that really began to work on my heart. Do I really have a burden for the people around me? Let's be clear again. You guys know this, but I think it's always important. We say it here at our church all the time. Everyone is not going to heaven if Jesus is telling the truth. And we know that he speaks the truth. Many of these Jews are so blind, they're wondering if maybe he's going to take his own life. But he declares something, again, I think it's a really in the way that he puts it. He says, you are of this world, but I am not of this world. Have you ever heard somebody say they're out of this world? Well, very literally, Jesus is, isn't he, right? He is different completely than them. The Jews could not see it. So again, he declares it multiple times in this paragraph. He declares, if you don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that I am he, you will miss it. You will die in your sins. You will die lost. Again, even here, he declares an I am message. What do you guys know about I am? You heard maybe the song, The Great I Am. You heard the truth, I am. When God reveals himself to Moses, how does he name himself? If you will, the linking verb to be. I am. We often say it as Yahweh, right? You've heard the term Yahweh. That's that idea. I am. Jesus here is declaring I am. And that's really going to throw off a lot of his audience. And eventually it's going to really make them angry. I don't know why, but to hear Jesus say these words again, that you will die in your sins, that it almost hurts. He loves us to the cross, and yet so clearly he speaks, if you don't believe, again, not my words, but Jesus' words, you will die in your sins. And can I say this so simply today? I don't want to die in my sins. Do you? I don't want that. I don't want my friends to die in their sins. I especially don't want my family to die in their sins. And to be honest with you, I don't want anyone to die in their sins, but they will if they don't believe in Jesus. And that's such a clear, simple message, but we declare here today, and you guys have to declare that message in your world. Are you hearing the Lord today? I love you guys, but I'm not going to get to interact with all your friends and all your coworkers and all your neighbors. That's your job. And this same simple truth, that unless you receive Jesus, you will die in your sins. It's the same truth that's been around for thousands of years. And it's what we have to declare with love and service, but we have to speak honestly and truthfully. Again, those are the words of the Lord himself. Let's look at the next idea here in verse 27. And that is they're going to question Jesus, who is he? And then he's going to speak to who they are. Look at verse 27. They did not understand that he was telling them about his father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, catch that again, I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. Now, the audience is still trying to sort this out, right? What do you mean you're going to go somewhere and we can't go where you're going? What are you talking about? We're of this world. You're not of this world. Who are you? They did not understand what he had to say. Again, these are the most educated, influential, righteous, holy people of the day, and they missed him. Can you hear me, church, today? You are some of the brightest, smartest, religious, faithful, loving, kind people I know. But if we don't seek the Lord, we can miss him. And we don't want to miss him. We don't want to miss those divine appointments. So let's not follow in the pattern of the Pharisees. And Jesus says they will know him, but when will they know him? When they have lifted him up. What's he talking about there? Is he talking about when they go around bragging that Jesus is a great person? No. When are they going to lift him up? When they lift him up on that cross. He's going to die. He's going to speak seven sayings. He's going to get buried. And the Lord's going to raise him up again to life again. And then they're going to know, oh, he was who he said he was. You will know when you have lifted me up. I think that's a really powerful thing. They didn't even know what they're about to encounter. So even so, Jesus declares a couple of really wonderful, important things. The first thing he declares is the Father is always with him, and also that Jesus lives to please the Father. Can I tell you today, those things are both true about you and me today. Everybody listen, you are not alone today. Praise the Lord. You're not alone. We're going to go through a lot of things, aren't we, right? You're going to make fun of the preacher, but I've just had this crazy awakening having my stitches in my head these last 2 weeks. It's like, this body is just going to get worse and worse. Barb and I were commiserating today together. Like, as we get older, we just need more time to go to appointments, but we're not retired yet. We don't have time to go to all these appointments. This body is wearing out, isn't it, right? But here's the truth. The Lord's not going to leave you alone. No matter what you're encountering, no matter what you're facing, you will never be without the Lord. Jesus said, the Father didn't leave me alone. But then what else did Jesus say? How was he living? I live to please my Father. That should be true about us today, right? You guys, whatever you're doing this week, whether you're having a time of rest, a time of vacation, if you're just doing your normal routine, you're going to work, you're serving your family, all of these things should be done to please the Father. Make sure that he's at the forefront of those things. So here's the powerful thing. You've got all these Pharisees who are like, who are you? Are you going to kill yourself? What's your problem? Where are you from? Why are you saying these things? And in spite of all that, what do we see? Many believed in him. Amen. Well, today we just heard of at least three people that came to the Lord this past week. Many are still believing in him. Our job is to speak the gospel, to speak the truth. So as sad as it is that there are people that are dying in their sins, the good news is there are many who are believing, who are being changed. And today the same can be true for any of us. We do not have to die in our sins. Who is your Father? Look down with us in verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? It will set you free. Verse 33, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus here declares what it means to obey. Oh, be careful. I could stay here a long time today. Right? Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah? A lot of people here say they believe in Jesus. How many of you hold to his teachings? See how loud amen came out? Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, amen. Do you hold to his teachings? Yeah, I do, but I'm not really perfect. I kind of mess up sometimes. I don't know if I want to say that out loud. Right? Is that how some of you feel? If you really are my disciples, what did Jesus say? You will hold to my teachings. I've seen a little Francis Chan clip this week, and he was saying the same thing. Jesus didn't call us to say a prayer and get baptized and then do whatever we want. Jesus called us to follow him. That's the call. That's the salvation. The salvation isn't that you said some prayer that was memorized or you copied somebody and then you got dunked in the baptistry. Salvation is your answer to call to be the disciple of the one true God. And where he goes, you follow him. And if you really are his disciple, you hold to his teaching. And you guys, that's why this, what we're doing, is so important every Sunday, every Wednesday. And you have personal devotions. We've got to know his teachings to hold to his teachings. Amen. And we've got to challenge each other. I love being in Sunday school class. I'm always challenged there about, is my life living up to what the Lord expects of me? I want to be one that pleases him. And to do that, I need to hold fast to his teaching. It's a simple question, but if you claim to believe in Jesus, are you holding to his teaching? And then you have this incredible promise of blessing. We're not going to stay here as long as we should, I'm sure. But the promise is very simple. If you hold to the teachings of Jesus, you'll know the truth. And then what will the truth do for you? You're not a slave anymore. You're set free. I mean, I just want to be so honest. I don't think we believe the power of God half the time. If you are dealing with a sin in your life, but you trust the Lord, you believe in him, and you're trying to hold his teaching, if you will give everything to him, he will give you victory over the sin. I promise, with everything on my life, I promise, if you will give your heart completely to Jesus about the problem you're facing and you want victory over the sin, the Lord says, you have been set free if you know the truth. It is there. The victory is there for the taking if we'll submit ourselves to Jesus. That's not my thinking. That's what Jesus says. If you know the truth will do what? It will set you free. I promise you, Jesus is not lying about that. I promise you, he's speaking the truth there. Now, in this message, when Jesus says, you're not going to be a slave to sin, is basically what he's hinting at. What do these Pharisees begin to take off on? Well, we're not slaves of anybody. Can you just hear him? I can just hear it in their voice. This Jesus saying we need to be set free. We're not already free. We're not slaves. Our father's Abraham. Who's your father? Woo, right? Who are you to tell us about some sort of freedom? Look down verse 39. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. You want to talk about a little battle back and forth, right? Verse 40, as it is, you're looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. You know who he means there, right? It's not Abraham. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Wow. They are really going back and forth, aren't they? Again, who is speaking here to these Pharisees? It's Jesus. I think sometimes we're afraid to speak the truth, but here he is very clearly speaking the truth. A lot of times we think of how nice and kind and compassionate it is, but we forget that sometimes Jesus speaks with an edge. And here the edge comes down against the Pharisees. He calls it like it is, and he very clearly begins to hint, and later on he's going to say it even more clearly, that their father is the devil himself. As a matter of fact, let's just go right into that. Look in verse 44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. How many of you be brave enough to tell someone that their father was the devil? These are the religious people. These are people who claim Abraham is their father, that God is their father. Jesus says your father is the devil. Whoa. He was a murderer from the beginning, the devil, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is the father of lies. Isn't that incredible? The devil's native language is to lie. Verse 45, yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Hey, this is the Lord speaking. Who are you, Jesus? Our father's Abraham. Well, I know who your father is, and it's not Abraham, Jesus says. Your father's the devil. And he's the father of lies, and he's been speaking lies to you, and you're believing him instead of trusting the one true God. Is the devil lying to you today? He's good. He's really good. Man, just a little bit more money, you'd be a lot happier. I promise you. That's what the devil says, right? A little bit better promotion, a little bit better pat on the back from your friends, your coworkers. I had somebody give me a pat on the back this week, and I just been guilty all over about it. I'm like, why did they do that? I don't deserve that. I was wrong. And I'm just like, oh, fighting that all week. But the devil, he'll start you feeding into that, won't he, right? You really are good. You really are nice. You really are special. You really are something. You don't need the Lord. You're good enough on your own. Right? Well, if you only had this, your life would be better. Amen? Talk to Rick and I about that later, right? If we only had this thing here, oh, then we would be. Who's telling you that? I'm going to tell you this morning, it's not the Lord. The Lord's not telling you if you only had this thing or this thing or this whatever, then all of a sudden you would be happy and everything would be great. The only thing he's going to tell you that you really need to be happy and satisfied is you need Jesus. And if you're chasing him and you're filled with his Holy Spirit, you're going to find satisfaction that you crave. Okay? The devil, lying is his native language, and he's lying to each of us all day long, every chance he gets. And our job is to stop listening to the lies and listen to the truth, because the truth sets you free. Amen? Good job, guys. All right. So Jesus is trying to lay this out, this case before them. Again, he basically says, if you knew the Lord, you would hear. But the reason you can't hear is that you don't know God. Then he's going to finally hit him in this last paragraph, and it's all going to break loose. Look at that verse 51, before Abraham was. Verse 51. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. Write that, highlight it, memorize it. Woo, that's a good one, right? Whoever obeys my word will never see what? Death. Do you believe that? Come on. Verse 52. At this they exclaimed, again, the Pharisees in the crowd, now we know that you're demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? I'm going to say the shorter answer is yes. He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Verse 54, Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You're not 50 years old, they had said to him. And you've seen Abraham? Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. If you don't catch that, you catch it. You'd be like, uh-oh, it's about to go down. And it is, right? Verse 59, at this they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Jesus makes this incredible statement. Whoever obeys my word will never see what? Death. Did Peter die? Paul? Yeah. Luke? James? Even John the Revelator, he outlived all the other ones, but did he die? What does he mean? What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about spiritual death. He's talking about hell. Whoever believes my word will never see hell. That's a great truth, isn't it, right? But again, these guys were so caught up in themselves, they couldn't catch it at all. Well, Abraham died, and then they come out with this. I think this is interesting. You're not even 50 years old yet. I'm kind of offended at that, by the way, today. I'm over 50. What do they mean by that? Basically, 50 was that place of wisdom, right? You haven't even arrived at a place of wisdom, Jesus, and you're trying to tell us that you know more about Abraham than we do. And basically, they're saying, well, did you see Abraham? And then, oh man, Jesus speaks such an incredible thing. He says, before Abraham was, I am. Now, we may not quite get the meaning of that. But you can tell the Pharisees got it right away, didn't they? What was their response? Did you hear that? He just blasphemed. He just said he was Yahweh. He said he was Jehovah. He just declared that before there was Abraham, he is God. Get the rocks, boys. We're taking this guy out. Can you hear him? Oh, they were so mad. In their righteous anger, they were so mad. He just took the name of God. And they missed him, that he really was God. You guys, would you pray for your preacher today? Let's pray for one another. The Lord has appointments all week long for us where we're going to encounter God. We're going to encounter him. You may be in a jail. It may be in a homeless situation. It may be in a nursing home. It may be in a neighbor who is really sick. It may be in a family member that is really hurting. And God's going to give us an opportunity, a divine appointment to serve God by serving these people. And I don't want to miss him because I'm too selfish and too much in my routine. That's what happened to the Pharisees. Jesus says that Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. Abraham was looking for a city, and I want to say this. Hopefully you understand what I'm saying. Abraham truly would have smiled to see Jesus. Can you imagine? Oh, there he is. I knew it was coming. I knew it was going to happen. Oh, so good. Jesus declares before Abraham was born, I am. He is here declaring he was before Abraham. And more importantly, he declares he is Jehovah, Yahweh. Jesus is Jehovah. I want to say this again, and please, I'm trying to say this respectfully, but truthfully, hopefully just like Jesus would. Jesus is Jehovah. If you want to really get into a fist fight with the Jehovah's Witness, that's where you can start the conversation. They don't believe Jesus is Jehovah. They believe Jesus is a God, lowercase g, a small God, but he's not the God. And I'm telling you here, Jesus declares before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is Jehovah, and we're not going to hide from that truth. The Bible declares it, Jesus speaks it, he is, I am. They understood, and so that they went about their way. So here's what I want to end up today. What do you want to do with all of this information today? All of this truth from John chapter 8. First off, on a positive side, I want to give you this. This is so good. Jesus says, if you will believe, if you will hold to his teachings, you will have life, an abundant life. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do you want to be free? Do you want to really, truly live and not face an eternal death? Jesus invites you to come. I know most of you guys in here believe in Jesus, and you're trying to hold to his teachings. But this message is for you to take to the people that are around you that don't. That's such a great truth. You can have freedom over whatever it is. Relationship problems, you can find freedom. Struggles with addiction, you can find freedom. Any sin and temptation you're battling, you can find strength and freedom in those things. On the negative side, again, Jesus declares this, and that's what I wanted to share with you today. You may be one of the smartest ones, the successful ones, the most religious ones, but if you will not accept Jesus and hold to his word, what does Jesus say? You will die in your sins. You can say, I said a prayer. You can say, I made a confession. You can say, I believe that there is a God. You can say, I believe Jesus. But if you won't hold to his teachings, if you won't obey his word, you will die in your sins. Those are not my words. Those were his words. And that's what's been hitting me today. I don't want to die in my sins. I don't want my family to die in their sins. I don't want my coworkers or my neighbors to die in their sins. So I'm duty bound to love and to pray and to serve and to seek opportunities with the Holy Spirit leading that I can share the good news that Jesus came, that they can be set free from their sins. Isn't this just a simple message you probably heard 1,000 times, right? But don't let it, your heart, be callous today. Let it be softened up to really have a burden for people who are broken. Again, Jesus is the one declaring this. The most compassionate, gracious, self-sacrificing one declares to us all, if we won't believe, we'll die in our sins. Are you ready to meet the Lord today? I hope we have a lot more days ahead of us together. I'm looking forward to that, Lord willing. But nothing is promised. Amen. Are each of you ready to meet the Lord today? If the Lord called you today and today was your day and you had to die and you were going to meet him, how are you? Are you ready to see him? Is there an attitude of joy and excitement and to be with the one who gave you his all and who's going to really just bring you into a new hope and future? Or do you have just this ultimate sense of dread, like, oh, I don't want to see him today. I don't have it. I'm trying so hard to get it together, to get it right. And I'm telling you that you don't have to get it together. You got to give it to him. Amen. Are you ready to meet the Lord today? Let's get ready. Do you know the truth and the freedom that comes with the truth? Are your family and friends following Jesus, or are they dying in their sins? And here's the thing that hits me, and that's that little three little word phrase right there. Do we care? I want the Lord to hit me again so that I care. I'm tired of apathy. I'm tired of just carelessness. I'm tired of being in all this routine and not caring about the most important thing, and that is the people that the Lord has put in my life, that they would know him. Will you pray and live and speak as led by the Holy Spirit, that they would have every opportunity to believe? Let's stand this morning. Thank you guys so much for your attention today. I'm going to ask Barb and Rick if they would come. We're going to sing a hymn today that we haven't sang very much before. It's called Trusting Jesus. But if you'll read the words together, if you haven't heard the hymn before, I think you'll find that it'll be encouragement to you. Again, today, the altar is open. And if you're not ready to meet the Lord, we invite you to come down. If you are ready to meet the Lord, but the Lord has put somebody on your heart today that you know they're not ready to meet him, and you want to come and pray here today and just say, Lord, help me to speak the truth to them in the best way possible, we invite you to come, and come as the Lord leads. Let's have a moment of quiet and prayer, and then we'll sing together, trusting Jesus.